This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So, digging a tunnel at the park.
Yeah.
Just normal Sunday, I guess every Sunday for 6 or 7 years. Just getting in there with, you know, couple shovels and this and that, and I get down, God, I want to say about 600 meters.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I start getting poked at by these fucking park cops. Have you seen these?
Yes, with their little, and because they're park cops, they of course carry like sticks.
Yeah.
Like
wooden stick.
Yes, because they love like the earth and trees.
And frankly, I don't have a problem if they're in uniform and they identify themselves, but some of them are posing as like concerned parents who think their kids are going to fall into this giant hole, you know? Which, by the way, 600 meters isn't exactly giant. I would have liked to see it a lot deeper.
And even some of them pose as regular cops.
Oh my God.
It's like, you're not real cops. This is a park.
Right. And I start trying to grab their gun to prove that it's a stick, you know?
Yes,
I keep reaching over it, it's clutching at their hip.
But they spin around so fast.
Oh my God, the hip movement on these fucking park cops. And they're like, you can't
have it. It's hypnotic.
You can't do a concrete pour in here. Like, you can't build a steel staircase at the bottom of your hole. And I'm getting frustrated now. And I grab a stick of my own. And I go, how would you like it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm swinging the fucking thing around. I hit myself in the ear a couple times.
It's so
I'm
dark
bleeding.
Down there, too. It's
my God.
600 meters down.
It's dark in the hole. It's also dark at the park. It's after midnight.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and so basically they go, hey, either you fill that thing in or we're gonna fill it. And I go ahead, and I get at the bottom of the hole. Sure enough, they start pouring dirt on top of
me. They actually attempted to bury you.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm late.
Park justice.
Yeah. Isn't that the most disgusting thing you've ever heard? Park justice. They like nature so much, they want you to become a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
To join the roots of the trees.
Hello and welcome to Hollywood
Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names
in the red carpet linebacker hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up? We got a really good guest today. It's a corker. Be on high alert. We do have a corker in store. Calling it now.
And people have been saying for years,
even break Dave Thomas. Can you have Dave Thomas?
Are you going to bring back Dave Thomas?
Shut up!
When I'm fucking ready. When Dave's ready.
I'm busy!
You don't snap your fingers and Dave just, you know, comes right up to your table and does your bidding. What you do is you wait. You soften the soil. It's like digging a big hole in some ways.
In every way.
You check the weather report the night before. You say, is Dave going to be primed so that I can dig in and suck his ass onto my fucking disgusting little podcast? And the fact of the matter is, he finally was. You're welcome, folks. Dave, say hi. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What have you been up to lately?
Hey, hi. Boy, talk about a good ass sucking. I feel so relieved. Well, you know, I haven't been doing a lot.
Yeah.
I've been staying at home like everybody else in the country.
Yeah, but real, like, we just
sell it, you know?
Yeah, like, we really, we need the momentum from this to kind of ride through the whole show. So
we don't have anything else. So, like, whatever you say here is going to kind of set the tone.
Mm-hmm. We really need you. We really need you to have done a lot.
It's going
to
go badly then, I think, is what we're saying here.
Okay, we definitely can't have that.
We can't have that again.
Our last couple have gone really bad.
It's been pretty low energy. So we do need you to kind of.
We can probably start the show over, or
hit it, Kevin.
Just end it here.
We can't end it. Whichever you guys contractual. Like.
We cannot end it. Yeah, we won't advertise.
Okay, so while the song is going, Dave, you think about it's been how long?
Kevin's just shy of eight years.
8 years since you've done this show.
Are you kidding?
May 2014.
We never kid on this show.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
My life has completely changed since May 2014. It's just unbelievable.
Okay, yeah. Tell us
the
about
stuff
it.
That's happened since 2014.
Christ, yeah.
It's shocking to me.
Okay.
And wow. Any details at all? Yeah. Or?
Well, let's see. I moved out of comedy and went into drama.
You probably already picked up on that.
I have noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I started working on Bones in 2014.
Okay.
And then I went to The Blacklist. And then I wrote a book. Good Lord. And I haven't thought of a joke,
Dave,
or had a funny idea in 7 years.
Wow.
Maybe eight.
Okay, so we got you at the tail end there.
Yeah, you
had
did.
Some funny shit on the last episode, and that's sort of the last recorded funniness. I was doing a lot of the work, but yeah, there was some good stuff.
I think you
stuff.
Were doing the heavy lifting, Sean. We always did.
It ended up coming out okay. So you mentioned the book. The book is a quantum thriller. Is that correct?
Yeah, quantum mystery, man.
Quantum.
I mean, everyone's working on these now. They're all the rage. Mm-hmm. And
it's cybernetic. Is that correct?
No, not at all. No, it's
Jesus.
It's not at all cybernetic.
Cybernetic.
Okay. Well, Kevin,
it's many worlds.
We get these notes from Kevin.
It's moving through the many world theory of a Princeton physicist named Hugh Everett III, moving through his concept that life at for every binary choice can go this way or that, but it actually goes both ways, and they proved that now in a lab. That's the beauty of science. It ultimately catches up with itself.
Wow. It sounds
I think that's a
very
right there
boring.
Yeah, it sounds like you are interested in it, which I love for you. It sounds a little bit lame and boring. I know when I spoke with you, you had said you had not recorded an audiobook version of this.
That's right.
We were hoping actually to kind of help you sell the sizzle, but not the steak, which is going to be hard here. But put together some excerpts, some excerpts read by the author, who is a performer in his own right. Yes, David?
Was a performer in his own right before he retired. But go on.
Come on. Bogman himself is here.
Bogman. Whoa, a blast from the past.
Of course, people are going to be familiar with your famous Bogman character. And now that we have.
I get a lot of requests even today.
And so we can, we can have you or Bogman or both of you read a couple of pieces of the book and use these as marketing tools in order to promote it.
Because where are we at with this? Are we like running copies off the assembly line? Like, where can this be stopped at this point?
No, it's already on Amazon. Okay.
My guy got fucked.
The book has come out.
Yeah, it looks like this, and it's already on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But you can do all this stuff. First of all, Amazon, with these like Kindles and things, I've been reading books on the Kindle, and sometimes I can tell that they're like making changes in it while I'm reading it.
Yeah. They go, oh, oops. What I hear a lot is the reader will go, and I'm like,
you think that'd be a good premise?
Okay. No, sometimes they write that in the text, though. He might actually be reading that.
It's coming up so much. It's almost every other sentence.
And it's changing while they're deleting stuff. They're typing new things.
Sean, I gotta say, as an author, is one of my favorite things to write.
Okay, so then you as the omniscient narrator are often saying and then making a new choice about the language you used or even the entire premise of the book.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really cool then.
Yeah.
Ago when I was talking about those binary choices of being able to go left and right, you're making fun of me, but now you're embracing it. And that I love. See, we've come full circle.
You've tricked me into being interesting in this incredibly dry topic. So I do want to share with Hayes. I want to be honest with him that Dave was showing us a little bit of the book before we started recording, and it they got my man. They hit him with the ant size print. The print is so small, no one
print
will be able to read it.
Too teeny. Okay.
Yeah,
let me just say,
weensy. Yeah,
this is first printing. First printing always sucks. It always, like, the book is always bad. It always looks weird.
First printing as a novelist myself, first printing is just the beginning of a negotiation.
Yep,
that's where you start. Then you start making your demands. Hey, I got to be able to actually read this bitch.
I'm into that with the publisher now. Truer words have never been spoken, Sean. I'm into it with him.
I noticed when you held up the book, there's another name on the front underwritten by it. So that is that who wrote the book?
No, that's not who wrote the book.
Okay.
That's my co-author.
Okay.
So you're implying here that he ghosted it and I didn't write a fucking thing, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm inferring from, you know, what I know of your history of collaboration.
Man. Are you specifically talking about my collaboration with you now? Because I can think of a sketch that I wrote for you that you take credit for about a guy that just loved tacos. And it was just a guy that loved tacos. And he went all over the world eating tacos.
And doesn't that sound like a funny sketch?
All over the world.
It does.
Danish taco.
And then you took credit for it. You stole it from me.
I took credit. And look where it's gotten me. I'm now world famous as the taco sketch guy. I'm dining out every night of the week with all the big players in town.
You are.
Dave, let's try this. Let's get, why don't you just read a little bit of the book and then we'll see if we give you a note, some direction, and we'll get something recorded, hopefully, that you can use to kind of move these copies, get the first press selling through so we can actually print one people can read.
So I'm on Pacific Coast Highway in my Dodge Charger Hellcat. The Hellcat is the fastest street legal production sedan in the world. I got 707 supercharged horsepower under my right foot. And all that power is coupled with 650 pound-feet of torque delivered through a beefed-up 8-speed transmission. What does all this car talk mean? It means that the three L.A. County Sheriff, Crown Vic, black and whites on my tail don't have a hope in hell of catching me. Their top speed is 129. Mine is 204. No contest, except for two things.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay.
I want to hear the two things. I do just want to make clear this. I mean, just like sort of knowing this is, I think you might be reading your diary. I don't know if this is the
check.
Book. The
Hold
book
on.
Is about a Boston guy, right? Like this.
Yeah. When I've spoken.
Yeah, you're right.
You
know what? You're right. I'm reading the wrong thing here. Fuck.
That happens all the time with these audiobook records. We go through this so much. That's why Hayes pegged it so quickly. And because you did tell us that story immediately before we started recording.
Well, so you were tipped off.
But you didn't get to the two things.
What were the two things?
What are the two things?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that now because that's not my book.
Okay.
I mean, that makes no sense that I would say that. Hold on.
How old is Jimmy, roughly?
He's early 30s.
Can we do
small time thief
like,
from Boston?
Okay, here are my suggestions.
Yeah.
17, high school thief.
Okay.
So we get Noah Centineo for him.
Can we
do you know Noah?
Can we Knock that down a little bit. 17 is feeling a little long in the tooth for me in terms of something I want to like.
Yeah.
Actually read about.
Okay. So what, 15? 12.
I was thinking 10.
10. Okay.
Jimmy's 10.
10 works. Noah Centineo can play 10. Big time thief. Why, you know?
Big time?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't mind if he drives this Dodge Hellcat you were just describing. I mean, that's pretty good. You know, let's toss that in. I mean, great artist steal, right? So whatever you were reading from, just now that's part of it. So this 10-year-old's driving this Dodge Hellcat, crazy big thief. Noah Centineo's playing him.
And I actually mistakenly read from my second book. I realize what I did now. And the first book I could read you a little of, because I really like your criticism on that.
Okay.
You've been really helpful by giving me an age range that I think I can work with. What did you end up with? 10?
10.
Something like 10. That?
It's not a range. It's
for a main that's gotta protagonist. Be
that. We landed on a firm number that everybody feels is probably best.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how it would go then. James P. Layton was 10. Mm-hmm. A young old pro who could pick a lock, climb a trellis, pry open a window, and silently loot the valuables in a home while the owner slept, never harming anyone in the process, more out of a low-profile self-interest than innate goodness. At 5'10 and 150 pounds, he was big for 10. But the boyish Southy thief had talked and squeezed, and sometimes fought his way out of more than one tight scrape after another. Tonight was different. Tonight, he might die. Are you guys on the edge of your seats yet?
Wow.
It's kind of scary. Yeah.
Too scary for you?
I guess when I go to read a book, I don't want to piss my fucking trousers, dog.
You do or you don't?
Chill out a little bit. No, thank you.
He doesn't anymore. There was definitely a time when Sean would go into a book like fully intending to.
Well, when I was Jimmy Layton's age, maybe.
Yes.
But these days, older, wiser, and I'm kind of looking to relax. Do we need all this stealing stuff?
That's page one. This is a 300 and hold on. This is a lot of rewriting you're suggesting.
Are you saying you turned down the heat for the rest of the book, that page one is all the action, and then we kind of get into just...
Oh, it does.
Maybe Jimmy
down.
Does a puzzle or something.
In fact, the last... It's out of 328 pages, the last 128 pages are blank. That's how relaxed it gets.
Wow.
Is that relaxed enough for you guys?
I'm loving
That's
this.
That's very chill.
This was another deal I made with the publisher, is because we just put notes... Mm-hmm. At the top of that, so people could make their own notes if they wanted
to.
Or
that's
they
so
could write,
useful.
They could write their own book. They didn't have to read any more of my book. They could, or the other guy that I wrote this with, Max Allen Collins, who actually really wrote it. But I'm copying to that.
Okay,
now,
before you were guys, saying that. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
You know, I
just
was lying.
So fast. Okay? We applied no pressure at all to you, and.
You guys
folded instantly.
I know. You guys are the Woodward and Bernstein of podcasts. You can just make somebody cave right away, you know? So,
you said 5'10, 150?
Yeah.
I'm thinking 6'4, 215.
At the age of 10?
Cut to ribbons.
Big kid.
Yeah. 5'10, 150. It's like. Those are rookie numbers. Got to pump those numbers up, right?
Triangle.
Matthew McConaughey meme.
Triangle-shaped torso. Upside down triangle torso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Trapezoid, big traps.
Like, enormous traps.
Like those sort of the frog thing where the guy does that.
Yes.
Muscle pose and the muscles come from just slightly above his ears all the way to the shoulder caps.
Yes.
All right.
Traps. Lats for weeks.
we're going to want to get those rhomboids and scalenes popping out. I want to see every single one. I wouldn't mind having the intercostal muscles between the ribs have their own identity.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
They should be sort of a character like Southie.
Maybe they could be little stories within the story. Is that what you're thinking? Some kind of a these little.
I don't want to write the thing for you, but maybe we follow. Why don't you?
The other
muscles.
Guy did. I could use your help. Hey, listen, I'm an unabashed thief. I'll take whatever help I can get.
Well, yeah, we're trying to give it to you. So I guess I'd love to hear a little bit of this new version of the audiobook where the guy is, what did we decide on? 6'10", 225?
Yeah, 225 I think works. If it's all muscle, it's going to weigh a lot.
And then we just kind of go through his muscles
but
and
waist,
name them.
30-inch waist.
Do not want too much waist.
So 30 is good. Like you already used the word 30 for his age.
You can keep
so
those.
Keep that. Just move that down for his waist.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to make big friends with the publisher. He's going to love that. That's a cash saving change. It's brilliant.
Can we give him an extremely small feet.
What? Okay, I like that. Like an animated figure.
Yeah, and that's how he sneaks in and out. Of all these houses, feet. When he walks around, it goes. Beep, 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 beep.
He actually.
That ain't waking nobody up.
He makes that verbally. That sound verbally when he's.
That's
what,
that's around. The sound he makes to cover up. Yeah, that's the rhythm of his.
So
feet.
James P. Layton was tan, a young old pro who could pick a lock, climb a trellis, pry open a window, and silently loot the valuables in a home while the owner slept. Weighing in at 225 pounds, looking like an inverted triangle, he was a human mass of muscle beyond belief, a piece of sculpted flesh that bodybuilders would envy. No hormones drove this man to the perfectly sculpted form that he carried around. He was his own master. He did it with a diet that was purely plant-based. How many is this?
This is so good.
That's really nice.
The plant-based diet thing we didn't even give you, but
yes, but we were going to.
No, the other guy did. Matt Collins gave me that.
Wow. Oh, so he's there. He's continuing to give you.
I have no idea. Okay. He's just typing stuff in for me on the screen while we're talking.
That's great. I think I like the new stuff. Some of the like climbing the trellis.
All right, all right. We can cut that.
Picking the lock.
It's hey, like, I'm a team player.
What the fuck am I reading? Like,
we can
what
cut
is
that.
This shit?
First of all, you're not reading anything.
I can't picture it, you know?
First, you're not reading anything. You're just sitting there critiquing a read that's coming to you verbally. So, in fairness, you're making your suggestions verbally and I'm taking them. And embracing them, by the way.
What do you think, Sean? What are you picturing? Like with the Sean is really great with like physical, like movement based stuff.
I know that he had dug a 600-meter hole at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
That to me is an indication of some physical skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just understand space, so I'm thinking we might want to put. Jimmy might want to make that Johnny. So
yeah, I could go for that. Yeah,
let's put Johnny selling different novelty floaties at the beach. He's got like a big inflatable guitar that you could ride on, could have a dolphin, maybe a white Bengal tiger. And let's have him in a pretty form-fitting suit there as well.
His trunks, you're talking.
That's right.
You're thinking of Speedo.
I don't want to get into brands because I don't want to be on the hook with paying them.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. So if form fitting, you're talking the form of his schlong is going to be
these 10.
I never said complete. Schlong. Come on, man.
Yes.
Come
it's
on.
Going to be his... completely visible.
I'm only.
Because if this guy's got these traps in this body, not to mention intercostals that are small characters that are going to play throughout the novel at a later point.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a schlong that's got a personality too. I mean, come on. Fair is fair.
Well, I don't disagree with the fundamental storytelling concept you're bringing up. I think in the current climate we live in, this 10-year-old, we're probably going to want to focus just on the muscles and not get into like the schlong, as you so delicately put it.
Politically incorrect, you think, a little bit, maybe?
It'll come back around.
It's this stuff is cyclical. I'm not saying, hey, when we write, Johnny Quantum 2, I think we could definitely get into the schlong, and he'll have grown up a little bit too.
So we're changing his last name too. It's not Layton anymore. It's Quantum, Johnny Quantum.
Well, didn't you say it's a quantum mystery?
Yeah. Oh, so if it's quantum mystery, cover, then like, what it should be his name. I didn't make that connection. That's brilliant. So if it's a quantum mystery, the guy's name should be Quantum.
I would think, because it's not a latent mystery, right? Like, it's not a latent mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's not. Not at all.
Yeah. So, let's actually tell people what they're buying.
Oh, man, I forgot on the...
what's going on? You got a phone call? You can take it.
I got to start the whole interview over. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Can we go back to that 600-meter hole? Is that too far back for you guys?
Maybe we could like come up with some better stuff that you were doing like in the 8 years.
That's really where I think it fell apart.
Since we last did the show. Yeah.
The whole stuff we have, you weren't doing anything. So it's
I could take a break while you do that. And then once you've done the front part of what I did over and made me look good, I'll come in and take credit for it. Like I did Kevin, with the book.
Kevin can be like, Kevin actually, we always have Kevin ready to kind of like jump in and be an understudy for a guest who's flailing. And so we can start the show. Kevin can talk about what you, Dave, have done over the last 8 years as Dave. And you can actually give notes on that. Kevin is great at getting notes. And so then we can get back into some of the book stuff. Does that work?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Kevin,
do I need to be there to listen to that, or can I come back in later?
I guess like
listen to Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, I understand why you're asking. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's not lost on me.
Kevin, without an audience, I don't know. I'm just a little
for him.
Yeah, and also because I might want to leave. Like
the reaction.
So,
yeah.
If you're leaving, and then I also leave.
I think I'm gonna go as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and so like I think it's probably safer if you're here, so that I
just
if
so
I
we
feel
even
like
know
it,
Kevin really does it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just me and Kevin. Then you two will be gone.
Ideally, I might stay. Yes. I definitely might stay.
Okay, Kevin, do you think you should stay?
No,
wait, Kevin not allowed to talk?
He doesn't have to stay. It's up to him, honestly.
See, now I think I actually am going to stay because I know that like once I'm out of the room, he'll start like pulling his shirt like off the shoulder, kind of like he does. He's kind of like, I don't know. It's like we're recording this on video. I'll go back. And, yeah, that's exactly right. So we're doing this record on video. Sometimes I'll go back and watch if I leave during an episode, and Kevin will become very coquettish as soon as he's left alone. So Kevin, why don't you hit the song?
He never lets me do this stuff.
Yes.
Here's something I brought for this show. Wow. I don't know if all your guests do it. This is called an EpiPen. And I brought this in case I had an allergic reaction.
Yes, all of our guests
to what was
do
going
this.
On that I could just
to the book ink.
Take this off, undo the seal,
yeah,
and then jam it into my thigh so that I don't end up being in a situation where my throat closes and I can't talk anymore.
Yeah. Some people are allergic to the truth. And so they will bring an EpiPen when they do this show. And
I'm allergic to being exposed as the fraud that I am. And that in itself is a throat closing experience. So I'll be at a point where pretty soon I'm going to have to use this EpiPen, and then I'm going to be fucked. I'll be out of it for a little while. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, you trip out on that. So you've used these.
You recreationally use EpiPens is well, what I I'm don't learning.
Hold on. First of all, I take some hydrocodone.
Oh, then I take smokes. The EpiPen.
Okay. Then
my guy's
I
got
do
the cocktail.
That rattle, the old rattlesnakes here.
That's how you trip out. You don't just get there. You don't just get there with the EpiPen. To take the hydrocodone first and be in that sort of like, what the fuck is this state? Then
the EpiPen lights the fuse.
Bam! That thing goes in there. And I look down and all of a sudden my feet get tiny. My body starts to take a triangular shape. And I think to myself,
oh,
I'm that guy they were describing. I'm the muscle guy with the intercostals to talk to each other.
I've become Johnny Quantum.
Yeah. A new superhero that can't do anything except take credit for other people's stuff and then overdose as his solution.
See, I love this honesty that I think we've wrung out of you, because we do. Hayes and I suffer from an affliction. It's like your allergy to being exposed. We're actually we're physically incapable of sugarcoating it.
And it is
we
terminal.
We give you and the audience the straight dope. Oh, yeah. It'll be what kills me.
I sense that at the beginning. Because very few comedians, there's a metaphor in comedy that you're digging a hole for yourself. Very few comedians will open a show by digging a hole for themselves and putting them and their guests in that hole. That tipped me off right away that I was screwed. That you were basically digging a hole, not just for me, but for this whole show. And that we were all going to go down the shitter together. And
very few comedians, really just one. Sean and I, technically career wise, are combined one comedian. Just in terms of like,
we're the only one that does this. Yeah, which is we open the show by digging a hole, then we climb in the hole, then we bury ourselves in the guest. No one
with
hears
guest,
from us ever again.
Don't forget that. You bury yourself with the guest. And this guest, I got to say, walked into that hole willingly and knowingly and accepted the fate.
Well, you just seem so fucking tired.
Yeah.
Like the idea of just laying down in that old hole, man.
I'll tell you.
Some it's kind like, of freedom there.
Not so bad in here.
It's a vertical grave, and I was happy to embrace it. You know? And at the same time, to be able to get the release of finally telling the truth that I didn't write this book or anything, for that matter.
Well, how could you? You're fucking shot up on hydrocodone and EpiPen.
Well...
You're speedballing with those two all day, every day. It's like, you're not going to write a book.
I have a backup.
Wow.
Christ, man.
She bites.
I have a backup pill case in case something happens to, because who knows? I mean, you know, people come in here all the time and steal my shit. I'm not paranoid, but I'll tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
People come in here all the time and steal my shit. And I got a lot of valuable stuff in here. I got EpiPens. I got like massive amounts of hydrocodone, and I'm vulnerable. When I do something like this where I'm on the air being exposed like this, it's a frightening thing. Let me tell you guys, I can't begin to tell you how frightening it is.
Well, this is exactly why we were saying, I don't know why you're writing a book about somebody who's breaking in and stealing stuff when it's obviously terrifying to you. It's actually happening to you.
Hey, it was
now
a
you're
metaphor.
Scaring me.
It was a metaphor for me, man. I don't, my character breaks into people's houses and steals stuff, and I break into people's minds and steal their ideas. Mm. Guess what? That guy is me. Johnny Quantum is this guy, Dave Thomas. Dave, in the words of Bob Hope, Dave never had a good idea in his life, Thomas.
Wow.
Talk about wow. confession. And you guys have
sure.
wrung it out of me. As yeah. only you two can do.
But you got the last laugh in the end with Bob, huh? We, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you.
No, it was an ancient reference that none of your viewers will even know who he is, or listeners. I guess today viewers, too, because you're videotaping this. I don't know why you decided to do that, but, you know, you guys have your own mysterious way of doing things, so.
People
I accept
want to
that.
See that you have two computers.
Mysterious.
They want to know. They want to see you on a screen, but behind you see another computer that you could be on.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what they want to see, and I know this.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they want to see. That's what they all want to see. It always
cha-cha-cha.
What they want, they look at that and they go, if I could just get that combo, that mm-hmm. sweet combo.
Mm-hmm.
Hey gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Well, we're talking about Harry's, and it's Clean Harry is here with us again today.
Sort of.
It has been a minute since we've caught up, and it sounds like you have some things that are...
It's just not going good. My mind's just on other stuff, punk.
It's often, when we talk about you, it's you're bringing in a lot of things from the outside, from your life. It's... There's just always seems like there's a lot going on.
Well, okay, you know how cats can give you like a sort of disease that makes you like cats?
Yes, yeah.
I have it. Punk.
You have the disease that comes from their litter. Do you have mm-hmm. cats?
I will soon now because
so
of this.
You don't have cats.
No, but I'm clean Harry, so I'm always cleaning things up. Anytime I go to someone's house with cats, I'm like, I'll clean that up.
You scoop the cat litter.
I get way in there, you know, okay. to clean.
And so you did punk. That from cleaning the cat litter at your friend's house. So you're going and seeing your
friends. Well, and I would go and take a big whiff after to be like, did I do a good enough scoop that it, like, there's no, like, then scent smell. Left?
Okay.
And I think I just... Guess I inhaled the cat disease
okay.
that like makes your brain like want to have more cats.
It's called toxoplasmosis. And so you know that you have this and
Gesundheit.
That doesn't sound like a sneeze at all. That sounded like a sneeze to
punk.
You. That's what a sneeze sounds like.
I'm just trying to bring some lightness to what has been a very heavy week for me. I just found out I have toxoplasmosis, for goodness sake. Gesundheit. Bonk.
Harry saw customers getting screwed over by questionable overpriced shaving products and decided to do something better. Instead of charging the same stupid high prices, Harry's found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of other big brands. Exceptional products, honest prices. That's Harry's. So are you going to get, I'm just like, so you're going to get some cats.
Right from here, yeah. Going to get cats, yeah. Okay.
The shaving products, deodorant, lotion, body wash, hair gel, it's not just shaving, but they do have shaving stuff. German engineer blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/theboys. Getting ripped off isn't funny. How many cats are you going to get?
6 or 7. Well, actually, 6 to start, but if I get 7, I'll probably get 8 because they're sisters. The other ones.
Which other ones?
The other ones that I'm not getting today, I don't think.
Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/theboys. That's harrys.com/theboys for a $3 trial set.
Hey, word to the wise, smell Harry's shampoo and stuff. Don't smell a litter box.
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Do we want to, Kevin, do you want to jump, like, get the beginning again and
get it clean?
Yeah, you can do your Dave opening forum and then Dave can launch in on that, or Dave can give his notes, like, whatever. Does that sound good? Okay, Sean's gone.
Sean is completely quit.
He did say he was maybe going to leave, though.
So it's me and Mickey Mouse, and Mickey's asking me about post-nut clarity. And I'm like, Mickey, we're at Disneyland. You cannot ask questions like that.
I'm back.
He's back.
Because I just liked the
idea.
Okay,
Dave did.
I liked the area.
Dave did just leave.
Dave took off.
Is that all?
Which is maybe good.
Yeah, that's what you. That's what you have. Is it? Because
the book he was like the.
I heard that. Yeah, yeah. I just pretended to take off so I could hear what you really thought. Oh yeah, Sean Clements. I have exposed
you.
Don't
you use my full name, Dave Thomas?
Why is that? Something you don't do on this show?
It's just the way you said it. Yeah. We're all friends here.
Hey, I see you've got exercise equipment behind you, and that must explain why you're just ripped as shit. What's going on, man? You didn't used to be like that.
Yeah, I just I decided I wanted to make a change. I decided I wanted to, you know, be the Johnny Quantum that I'd always imagined I could be. I guess that's a big part of why I had those notes. Now that you tell me, you know, your version of the book is a confession of you breaking into people's minds and stealing it. Mine is a confession of, like, each of my intercostal muscles has become like a child to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
More so even than my own children. And they do have their own personality.
They do,
and they
tell
are characters.
Some stories. Holy smokes. Do you have any notes on Kevin's version of your story that you were at Disneyland with Mickey Mouse and he asked you about post-nut clarity? I think that was basically
brilliant. Okay. And way better than anything I said.
Okay.
So.
All right.
If you guys want a really good show, you're going to have Kevin as your guest, not me.
Okay. We
I could tell from the way you said okay there that you kind of agree with that. That's good. I'm getting to you.
I
agree with
Kevin
some of it.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if it was brilliant. I agree that it was better. So, like we are in agreement on some of this stuff. Just the location being like Disneyland, the Southy thing is like, this is not, you know, if you don't want to drive through it, why would I want to experience it in a book, you know? Disneyland.
Maybe, I mean.
Hey, I got news for you. I use Sabi as a springboard, as a kind of a diving board to dive off to another location. It's the sort of thing that, you know, people like to
dove into an empty pool, you know what I mean?
Well, some people would say that, but other people would think Cambridge, Massachusetts is a brilliant place where there are a lot of bright kids and wandering around just trying to make up their minds whether they're going to be an arty fart at Harvard or a tech whiz at MIT.
Yeah, Sean can talk about that. I mean, like, you know, Sean spent a couple rowdy years there.
That's where he breaks
four
in.
Or so, yeah.
He breaks into a house in Cambridge, not in Southie. So, I've never been to Southie. I wrote about it, but since we've already established that I'm a fraud, of course I would write about it.
Max grew up there.
No, Max didn't either. I tricked him into writing about Southie, pretending that I'd lived there. But in fact, now, because you guys are so good at wringing the truth out of me.
You lied
I'm
about the
I'm spilling my
thing.
Guts. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I lied about the entire thing.
I do wonder, you had such a positive reaction to Kevin's post-nut clarity story. Do we want to call it Cumbridge?
Yeah, we could. We could call it
you
Cumbridge.
I mean?
Yeah. Cumbridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah. A place where you can achieve post-nut clarity. Send your kids to Cumbridge. No need to take out a big student loan there.
And then as we're doing this sliding doors thing, maybe what we have is, you know, we have one scenario that goes pretty poorly where someone makes a series of mistakes. Then we walk through that exact same scenario if they had had post-nut clarity. And we see how they are able sort of deftly maneuver through all the complicated, you know, social situations we land them in. So we got one sort of Mr. Bean type figure, right? Keeps stumbling, getting in his own way. And then we've got Mr. Cool, aka post-nut Mickey Mouse. And this guy, he's in a Mentos ad, you know? It's like everything that comes up, he's somehow able to whatever, just slide right through the limo on his own or lie down on the bench and make his suit pinstripe or whatever else he needs to do.
I'm sorry, could you just repeat that last part? I didn't
whatever else he needs to do.
Not that part. The part from beginning at our guest today is Dave Thomas. That part.
Hit the thing again. And maybe like a different story this time, just to like kind of reset us, Kevin. A Dave story, your Dave.
So it's me and Minnie Mouse, and she's asking, what's the kind of stuff that goes around in your head all day? Dave left too.
Two can play that game.
It is just you and me. Okay, Dave is clearly still there. Okay, yeah, he was there the whole time.
Every time you go off, Sean, I'm going off. I'm just going.
Go off, King.
You know why? Because it was your idea to go off, and I copied it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He's putting it into motion. Just what he threatened me with.
That's right. It's a fact.
And what's the end of this story? Minnie Mouse is what's going on in your head all day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are you telling her?
But what happens after that, Kevin?
And I say, you don't want to know. Let's not get into the details.
I like it.
Okay.
Okay, good.
The tone
somebody
is,
does.
The tone
it's kind
is
of
nice.
A cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's like I did like the tone.
The delivery's great. I wonder if that's going to play in the book. Like, if what we're really talking about still is Dave's book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can always spruce book, it up with an urum.
That's true.
You know, that always
could work.
Juice.
You don't want to know. Let's not get into the details.
Now you're talking. Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you pull that out of the
that
fire?
That could play on the page.
Uh huh. Yeah. Talk about collaboration. Kevin, I think you and I ought to write a book, and I got to be. Give you a little warning up front. You're going to be shouldering most of the work.
That his name goes first, even though it's
my name goes
clearly
first.
Alphabetically second.
Yeah. My name will go first. Kevin, your name will go second. You will do all the work and I will take all the credit. And I'll get on some of my friends' podcasts and thank you for collaborating if I feel like it.
But I'm so I've got. This, I've got the Amazon preview open.
Oh no!
They're just giving this stuff away. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Yeah, like
basically the entire book is in here, and it continues after you know you have the line "Tonight he might die," really scary. I would actually just cut that line entirely.
Yeah, just lose it.
Wait,
or just maybe say "Tonight he won't die."
Yes, yes, fine. That's right. Yeah, and then it goes. The owner of the Little Grill, Patrick Donovan, was working behind the bar. 5 years older than his friend Jimmy, redheaded Pat was tall, trimly bearded, and blue-eyed, a paunch moving in on him.
I remember that. I remember writing that. Yeah.
Instead of the Little Grill, could it be like a Romano's Macaroni Grill?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Romano's Macaroni Grill?
Same thought, yeah. Do we make it Romano's Macaroni Grill instead?
How do they get the macaroni to stay on there is my question.
Macaroni Grill.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that some thought. It's not something I can embrace right off the
okay, bat. The one suggestion you don't like is a chain with dozens of locations across the United States. Using that instead of the Little Grill. I don't want to go to this tiny grill.
Maybe instead of this guy's trim red beard.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if we're going to get to. What we describe are his massive calves.
You're working that theme. You love that. You love big buff guys.
Yeah. Calves that you could rest a little espresso cup on.
I want somebody to identify with in the story. You know what I mean? I need to see myself in there.
I would love to see your calves because I got a feeling from what I see behind you that they are gigantic.
Buddy, you better believe I'm burning them out. I don't know where the spleenius starts and the gastrocnemius ends. Just a fucking wall of calf down there.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. And
we call him Veal Parm.
I'm scared for my shoes. My calf ever decides to pop out and jump down onto my foot. That's it, man.
Your tiny feet.
Yeah, they're so small.
Well, there's no room for big feet when you got calves that large. They're just done.
That's the fact. I think they ate up a lot of the foot tissue. They just sort of sucked it on up in there, which I didn't know that's exactly how bodies work, but I'm finding out now.
Excellent. So
red-hatted Pat was tall, trimly bearded, and blue-eyed. What about huge calfed Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Was smoking, huge, trimly shredded.
Huge calfed Pat, right?
Yes, again, huge calfed Pat.
I'm trying to write this down.
Was smoking, trimly shredded, and steel-hewn.
Maybe instead of Pat, it's Pratt, like Chris Pratt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of like the
doesn't look like you're writing it down. Looks like you were getting it. Okay, getting some pills.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I now know that I should have had one during the big hole digging opening.
That there was time. Isn't that the worst feeling?
That's when I should have had my pill.
Yes. The whole time you're just thinking, God, I had time to take another pill.
And you're watching the ship leave the dock.
54 minutes ago, I should have had this pill, and I would be just in great shape by now.
You'd be feeling no pain.
Instead of suffering, thinking about a huge calfed Pat.
Pratt?
You changed his name to Pratt?
Yes.
Yeah, sir. That was while you were in the you were pretty deep digging around.
I was looking for my
through
pills.
The old medicine chest. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I run out of those,
that's it. Huh?
No, there's other ones here that are just way better. These ones are pretty good.
Oh, mama!
Well, wow, yeah,
that was a piece of writing and life advice that you gave me, which was like. Always eat your strongest pill first. That way you'll always be eating your strongest pill.
That's right. So I run out of stuff.
We're absolutely done.
I can't steal any more stuff. Cash,
yeah, man. No, we're totally done. We got to get out of here right now.
No,
the book's on. Gone, the book's on. What kind of purchase do you make the most money off of? Amazon? You're gone?
How do you make the most money?
I'll come back for that.
How should our four listeners buy it?
They should go on Amazon and buy it. And they should buy the paperback version because it's more expensive than the Kindle. I'm not a big fan of Kindle, I'd be honest right up front.
Neither would they change the book while you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like a comedic premise, but it's actually just a thing.
You'll be reading and someone will type in like, "What's up, bitch?"
What up, bitch, said Hugh Caffett Pratt.
You like books, bitch? Sure seems like you do.
What's up, nerd?
Hey, everybody, get a load of this guy. He's reading a book. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Well.
Bye.
This week on the Patreon, Carl and Hassan discuss government conspiracies, the boys discuss the deal memo of the big My Favorite Murder acquisition, and the flagrant ones talk to Jaquise Neal about mostly all things basketball. Check out these bonus podcasts and videos of the full episodes, including today's with Dave, at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.